This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 38 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. Please remember how you can get involved on the site www.yesmusicpodcast.com, where you can subscribe by RSS via iTunes, via email to the blog post and episode updates. You can read and comment on show notes or blog posts. You can follow the show on Twitter at Yes Music Podcast. You can send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload a file via the link on the right-hand side of the website, or you can leave a voice message in two ways by calling 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417, or by recording a voice message straight onto the website using the record a message button on the extreme right-hand side. If you've got a smartphone, you can also download for free the Stitcher.com app and listen that way. It was Father's Day this week, and my wonderful family gave me the boxed set entitled The Word Is Live. This looks like a fascinating mix of live tracks spanning the years 1970 to 1988. I look forward to featuring some of the more unusual tracks on future episodes of the podcast. What do you know about It's Love from 1971, The Big Medley from 1978, Hello Chicago from 1979, or perhaps most tantalising of all, We Can Fly From Here performed live in New York in 1980? I can't wait to give it a spin. Another first for me this week was using an app called Forum Runner on my Android phone to access yesfans.com. I'm still getting used to using it, but it's certainly great to be able to catch up on the latest discussions without having to log in via my laptop. I'm going to give you an update on the Yes Music Podcast quiz at the end of this episode, so please do keep listening for that. So now, though, it's back to my exploration of Yes shows. Our friend and Yes aficionado Joost Maglev left an answer to my question from last week's episode as a comment on the show notes. He said, "On the Yes Shows album, Time and a Word is merged with Going for the One. At the point where your recording stops, immediately there comes the slide guitar by Steve. Of course, this is a studio cut, as Time and a Word is from 78 live, and Going for the One a 1977 live. During the 78 lives, Time and a Word was the beginning of a big medley, which dove into Long Distance Runaround. It has been reproduced on the Word is Live bootleg set, which I mentioned just a moment ago, but Chris decided to cut it to Going for the One on the Yes Shows album. I hope this answers your question." It certainly does, Joost, and many thanks for getting in touch with that clarification. It makes a lot of sense, and I'm glad to see that I was not going mad, and that the ridiculous cut is only in digital versions of the album. The first track on side three of Yes Shows is the closest Yes came at the time to a pop single, Don't Kill the Whale. The opening is close to the studio recording, and this recording seems to have more atmosphere. It rocks along in a compelling toe-tapping style as Anderson belts out the melody above the unmistakable and unique texture, complete with Chris Squire's brilliant wah-soaked bass line. Howe's initial solo is a variation on the theme of the original, while Alan White shows his straight rock drumming credentials, grooving away steadily and entirely appropriately for the song. Wakeman is omnipresent, and I love the textures he creates. This song is hugely enjoyable and unique in its soundscape. There's nothing quite like this on the planet. Wakeman's keyboard solo does much to remind us that this really isn't a pop song, with its progressive sensibilities, elaborate runs, and virtuosic style, and Howe re-enters against the pitch wheel swoops of the keyboard master. This section, with vocal harmonies and shift in approach, set the music apart from the humdrum pop fare of the time, and leads to the rock and roll finish. It's easy to forget this is live, a masterly performance. After the ending, the band strike up a bit of a groove, while Anderson mentions the crew who have helped stage this concert. He then extemporises some vocal lines over the top, interspersed with more shout-outs to the crew. It's a lovely little improvisatory passage. As Anderson says, it's getting like a soul show now. He then says they're going to play Ritual. As Joost Maglev mentioned above, this must be two performances spliced together at some point, as Rick Wakeman provided keyboards for Don't Kill the Whale, and Patrick Moraz is playing on Ritual. So at some point we have not only swapped keyboard players, but also skipped back in time 2 years. The beginning is sublime, yes, sorcery. Chris Squire leads the way with a colossal bass line, supported by Alan White's percussion, and then Steve Howe's magical sliding pedal steel ushers in transports of delight for any Yes fan. Wonderful, transformative, heady stuff. But what of Patrick Moraz? Well, initially he provides entirely appropriate support to the sound, so everything is sounding just right. I'm reminded just how much Tales was a showcase for Steve Howe as I'm listening out for Moraz, but he really is in a supporting role here, and he accomplishes it with no problems at all, as far as I can hear. The rest of the band are storming away, each change of mood and timing handled effortlessly. Where Moraz is required to add doubling of the themes and other colouring, it's fully integrated, and using very similar sounds to the Wakeman original. It's a stunning performance, including a Squire lead bass solo of spectacular dexterity and power, which leads to the quieter section. Howe's working through of the thematic and harmonic aspects of the material show his innate musicianship. He's untroubled by the shifting tonal landscape as he paves the way for the Nuit du Soleil section. There's a deeply affecting feeling of peace and joy as Anderson takes up the theme. Patrick Moraz is sunk into the mix even further than Rick Wakeman was on the studio recording. The keyboard theme section, around 9 minutes 18 seconds, is no exception. The theme can be heard and it's performed well, but the moment is not as striking as it perhaps should be to retain the feel of the original. This is a great sequence on the record, but it's a bit muted here, which is a shame because the rest of the playing and vocals are superb. The emotional pressure builds up and up at the insistence of the music, until Squire and White reprise the opening material in fine style. At some point along the way the track finishes, and we need to flip the record over for side 4 and Ritual Part 2. I imagine on the record it's just before Squire brings back that opening material, and I'm sure Joost Maglev will confirm or deny this for us. In any case, Squire and White are imperious, and there's a bit of development of the section beyond the original studio recording before the fast section appears again. Squire is in full bass masterclass mode. This passage is a perfect example of why many believe him to be the greatest of all progressive rock bassists. It's fast, virtuosic, melodic, lead bass playing of the highest order possible. And remember, this is in a live concert, so no chance of retakes. The rest of the instrumentalists, including Moraz, provide Squire with a remarkable texture to play against as he improvises wildly, but always in a perfectly controlled and precise way. If you think Howe is a genius on the lead guitar, then I urge you to listen to this recording, because if there is a more stunning display of bass guitar playing in existence, I'd love to hear it. Surely Squire is at least as talented as Howe. Quite suddenly, Howe ushers in the next section, and we move rapidly through fragments of material, still featuring Squire's heroic soloing, until Howe takes up the mantle and it's a festival of prog excess, culminating in the exotic and bizarre percussion section, further enhanced from the original by the inclusion of some keyboard effects by Moraz, which are on the edge of Doctor Who but just managed to stay on the musical side. There are some fun vocal effects as well, and the feeling of chaos is very well created in this live version. It's interesting to note that this doesn't really sound like any other piece of music I've ever heard, in any situation. This is surely the mark of a unique work of creative mastery. I really couldn't have believed this section could be improved upon from the studio recording, but it's even more unsettling here as I gasp repeatedly at the effects created, the improvisation and the brilliant playing. Finally, Howe's guitar emerges from the aural maelstrom with the new Nuit theme. Wow. The contrasts achieved in this piece are simply staggering. Moraz improvises some quite blues-sounding parts beneath Anderson's vocal line, which seem to fit in really well, and the interweaving of piano, bass and lead guitar sound deceptively simple, but are in fact as intricate as a finely worked tapestry, and just as beautiful. The calm after the storm, the order out of chaos, works remarkably well in this live recording. An oasis of peace and love is created before the re-emergence of the louder, more insistent material returns to round off a fabulous performance with a sense of accomplishment. This is yet another track to consider for your armory of Yes examples to play to the uninitiated. It's a towering achievement of progressive rock. If Yes had done nothing more after this concert, they would have rightly achieved legendary status based on this performance alone. However, we are fortunate this is only the tip of the iceberg. Finally, we reach the last track, which has a difficult job of following ritual to complete the album. It's Wondrous Stories from Going for the One, and features Rick Wakeman once again on keyboards. If you've listened to my opinions on this track from the episode about Going for the One, you'll know it's one of the very few Yes songs I tend to skip when listening to albums. I'm happy to give it a go here, though, and it starts off really well with Wakeman's little flourishes back in the mix, arguably where they should be. It's performed in a relaxed style, and the music washes pleasantly over me. Chris Squire adds his prominent bass lines in with the usual panache. They emerge from the texture in a way only he can achieve. Wakeman's solo lines are faithful to the studio version, and he makes the dexterous virtuosity seem breathtakingly easy. The band create the perfect Yes soundscape here. This couldn't be anyone else, and I find I prefer this performance to the studio version. It seems less muted, more lively, with more clarity in the individual parts. A great epilogue to the virtual concert. Overall, then, the second disc of Yes shows carries on from where the first left off. Mraz does a brilliant job of both recreating Wakeman's lines and also adding touches of his own to enhance the performance of Ritual. I find it amazing that it's even possible to perform pieces like Ritual live, yet alone to create the magic we have here. It's also great to have the two shorter, arguably more accessible tracks to remind us of the myriad of different modes and moods the band are capable of creating, even in the same concert. I find Yes shows deeply satisfying and enjoyable with all the ingredients of a classic Yes live experience present in bucket loads. It might not have your perfect set list of essential songs, but as a companion piece to Yes songs, it's a masterwork on an epic scale. So that's about it for this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. Before I go, another quick update on the first Yes Music Podcast competition. I've decided to stop at 10 questions, but you still have time to answer these. I will keep the forms open until Wednesday of next week, 27th of June 2012. Then I'll look at the entries and make a decision on the winner. I'll give full details of the results and some of the more interesting answers I have received in next week's episode. In the meantime, please do get involved by leaving a comment on the blog, yesmusicpodcast.com, by sending a tweet or direct message to @yesmusicpodcast on Twitter, by sending an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com, by uploading an audio file or recording a voice message via the buttons on the site, or finally by leaving a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.